We're going to talk about staying the course God has set for you. I want to start out with this illustration. Okay? I'm going to ask Chuck to help me again. All right? See, because one of the things that we need to know is that God said, okay, let me share this with you. In Jeremiah 3, verse 14, God said, actually verse 15 is what I'm going to read, and I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding. So who did he say he was, what did he say he was going to give you?
Pastors.
After whose heart?
His heart.
And what do they have to do? With what? Knowledge and understanding. Okay. And so some translations say shepherd, you know, so you can interchange pastor shepherd. But since God gives us pastors after his heart, the pastor's responsibility is to go to God and find out what his heart is for the people, and then come back to the people and share what God has said. Not their own opinion, but what God said. Not their personal heart, but God's heart. And sometimes it may not make sense to us, because there's some things that we're victims of our own knowledge. And what we're told is God's heart doesn't make sense. So God has a plan for Chuck. And as his pastor, I should be saying things that will cause Chuck to be able to fulfill God's plan for his life. So I'll give him some instructions based on a direction that God gave me for him. I want you to go to Route 80 East, okay? What I want you to do is I want you to go down the road out of the parking lot here, make a left. At the stop sign, there's a four-way stop. I want you to go right, take Wigwam Road. I want you to stay on Wigwam Road, right past Studebaker's to 611, make a right turn, keep going down. I don't know how many lights, but you'll see the sign for Route 80 East. Okay, that's what we want you to do. Okay, Roy, would you come help us? So Chuck's going on, and he encounters Roy. Where are you going? He said, oh, well, I'm going to Route 80 East, and I'm going this way. And Roy says,
you take 209. First, you get on 447, take 209, through Cortland, turn left, 447, go down about 3 miles, business 209, you see the sign said 80 Junction, east and west. And you spot a sign.
Okay. Now he's got two conflicting accounts. Deacon Dom, would you come and help for me, please? Okay. Now see this is one of his leaders. This is a deacon here in the church. Give him directions to 80 East.
You're going to take 9W North, 293 North. Then you're going to jump on 287 going west. After you get on 287 going west, you're going to jump on 80 going west. And that should bring you to exit 302. In Stroudsburg, take exit 302, you jump on whatever the exit is up here. I don't remember. I just drive it.
Okay. Okay. He's got three sets of instructions. Okay. Oh, but wait a minute. Hold it. Hold it. Hold it. Hold it. Say that again.
I have GPS.
Oh, okay. So now let's think about that. Thank you, Roy. Thank you. Let's think about that for a moment. He received directions from God's heart. He got conflicting directions from Roy and from Deacon Don. And he said, you know what? I have a GPS. So what happened? Rather than heed the voice of the shepherd, he dismissed these other voices, but he went with his own understanding. So many times, we do the same thing. We'll hear what God has said based on his purpose and his plan for our lives, and we get excited and we tell people and they start telling us their opinion. See, I'd ask Deacon Don to give directions from where he lives. He doesn't live in Pennsylvania. Okay. And I told him to give him directions to 80 East. He took him to 80 West. Okay. All right. But God will give us some instructions. He might give you instructions to go all the way out to West Point to bring you back to exit 310 on 80 West. God may do that because he may have a particular reason. Because, see, on the way, on your journey, there are things that you need to help you complete the journey that you will only find as you move along the path that God has sent. God said to Abraham, he was then, I want you to sacrifice your son, your only son. And he told them where. Where did he have to go? Those of you remember. Okay. Do you think there were any mountains closer? Okay. What if he said, hey, okay. Let me preface it this way. I have notes. Maybe we'll get to them. I'll preface it this way. God told me clearly, join a youth fellowship. I said to God, clearly, no. But I surmised what God was really saying was he wanted me to start serving in the church. So I joined the host. I became a host. And I'm like, I'm serving. Leave me alone. Okay. But he said, youth fellowship. That's what he said. Why? Didn't make any sense to me. It's not that I didn't like young people. My preference was ages 6 to 10. Why? They listened without questioning. That was why. Okay. But along the way, when I made the choice to get in step with God's plan, there are things that I acquired along that journey. Why? Because God didn't really have youth worker in mind for me. He had pastor. But there were some skills, there were some techniques, there was a mindset that I didn't have that I needed to have. So he took me along a path where I could develop those things. It didn't make sense to me, but there were some things that I had to develop. So he said to Abraham, go to Mount Moriah and sacrifice your only son whom you love. And you know the story. Abraham went to sacrifice. He laid his son out, picked up the knife, and God said, no, you don't have to sacrifice him. Now I know, you know, that you love me. I'm paraphrasing. But Abraham knew a sacrifice was still in order. But he turned, and there was a ram in the bush. What would have happened if he wasn't at Mount Moriah? It might not have been no Isaac. Because the angel whose job was to stop him was sent to Mount Moriah, not anywhere else. So if you don't go where God told you to go, your help is not there. You know the story of our daughter and going to the College of William and Mary. God said send her there. And everything that she needed or would need was there, including her husband. Now, I didn't know that when he said send her there. All I know is that he confirmed it with me that that's where she was supposed to go. Why was that significant? We didn't have College of William and Mary dead presidents. Okay. We didn't have the money. I was calling it William and Expensive. I mean, that's... But the first year, someone said to us, God said, I'm supposed to pay her tuition. That wouldn't have happened if she wasn't at William and Mary. The second year, the school called us. Someone withdrew with a large cash reward, award. Nasty woman. She really was. She was angry. She said, we've never done this, and we're 301 years old, and we have never done this, and I don't even know why we're doing this for you. That's what she said. But someone withdrew that had a large cash reward, and my director said, give it to your daughter. So her tuition is paid. Okay? And she said, don't count on this happening next year. I mean, the woman was not nice to me on the phone. She was angry. But if we hadn't followed God's plan for her, that doesn't happen. See, one of the things that I do is I will punch in. I have a GPS also. And I'll put in where it asks me, where do you want to go? I tell it where I want to go. And it says to me, new route based on traffic. Right away, that's an indicator that there's some traffic issues out there. But I'm not listening to that. I'm listening to the way it's going, and I'm like, that doesn't make any sense. I don't want to go all around there. I'm just going to go right here. Guess what I run into? Traffic. Okay. Then I get mad at the traffic. I'm going to be late. Not if I had listened. But that's one of the reasons why God said, I'll give you pastors after my own heart, and they'll fill you with wisdom and knowledge, understanding. Why? Because I have a purpose and a plan for you. And he doesn't give us all the steps. See, my GPS system will tell me, it will say, proceed X number of feet and turn left onto Cranberry Road. That's all it'll say. I have to ask it. I say, I want a route summary. And then it says, well, here are the next, it says, it'll say like, there are 28 steps. Here are the next three. Okay. And then sometimes I would sit and go through the list, and my wife says, honey, why do you do that? I said, I want to know where I'm going. But it'll give me one set, tell me one thing. And as I'm approaching it, it will say, in 500 feet, turn right onto Wigwam Park Road. And it'll shut up. And so now I have to get to Wigwam Park Road and turn right and keep going until I get an additional direction. And that is very similar, folks, to the way God works. He didn't say, Abram, go to Mount Moriah, sacrifice Isaac, but you're really not going to have to sacrifice him. But you tie him all up and lay him out and, you know, get the wood and everything ready and pick up the knife. And before you come down with the knife, I'm going to have an angel tell you not to sacrifice him, and there'll be a ram there in the bush. He didn't say that. He said, go to Mount Moriah, sacrifice your son. Period. Abraham has a choice now to make. Because God has also said that he would make him father of many nations. He also told him about Isaac's descendants. How can you have descendants when you're dead? Okay. So Abraham could have chosen to rationalize all of that out and not go. And not go. And would have thrown a monkey wrench, so to speak, in God's plan, not just for his life, but for mankind. And we need to understand that when God is speaking things to us, it's not an individual plan per se for our lives. God is concerned about eternity. He'll give us instructions based on the multitudes, because that's who he's after. He's after the multitudes. So he's going to give instructions to tell us where to go and what to say to draw other people. Why? Because John 3:16 says he so loved the world. So loved the world. So we have to get to the place where we're comfortable not having all of the information and just being satisfied with the information God gave us at that moment and just go about doing that until he decides to give us the next step. We're going to have to change the way we think. I have to change, Lord, do I have to change the way I think? Because I have to, my wife will tell you, I have to know every jot and tittle. I want to know, where am I going? Where is this thing taking me? And for me to leave it alone, and I've tried, I have still not been successful going someplace where I've never been and just let the GPS system guide me one step at a time. I got to be honest with you. I still go at least six steps ahead, okay? But I still haven't gotten to the place where I'll just take one, do that, and trust that it will give me another set. And I can rationalize. It's a GPS system. It's based on weather conditions. It could get cloudy and lose the signal, and I miss a turn, and where am I going to wind up? So I need to know a couple of steps in advance. Well, even if that's true, our Father is never too cloudy that he can't get through to us. We have to learn how to trust him. And we have to understand, look at John 10. I'm going to start with verse 1. It says, verily, 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 I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him, the shepherd of the sheep, the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and does what? leads them out. And when he puts forth his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And the stranger they will not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. One of the things that Pastor Ed and I allowed were too many voices speaking too many different things into the shepherd, into the sheepfold. And we put the sheep in a position now, all right, whose word do I follow? I mean, they're all good. Whose do I follow? And God, how do I say this? Corrected us. And he said to us, these sheep that I gave you need to hear your voice. Period. They need to be able to distinguish your voice among anything else that's going on. They need to hear your voice. You are the one that we put before them. And they need to follow you. But they can't follow you if they don't recognize your voice. If we're going to stay the course with God, we have to recognize when he's speaking to us. And when he's not. We have to recognize he gave us shepherds, pastors, who represent his heart. And we have to learn how to follow that voice. One of the things I shared with the folks in Nanuet, when I became part of the leadership of this ministry, my wife and I, we were the youth directors, we were the wedding ministry coordinators, and we were invited to different places, different meetings, different speakers. Nothing wrong with them. None of them that I know of had bad reputations, so to speak. But I would never say, yes, I'll go, without going to the pastors and asking them. And they said to me, you don't have to ask us permission to go. And I said, yes, I do. And why? I said, because wherever I go, people know us as the youth directors at Redeeming Love Christian Center. They don't know us as Gregory and Phyllis, per se. We're the youth directors at Redeeming Love Christian Center. We're the wedding coordinators. We're the deacons. Whatever it is, we're associated with Redeeming Love Christian Center. And if we're associated with Redeeming Love Christian Center, then we represent Pastors Clinton and Sarah Otterbach. Whether they ask us to represent them or not, when we show up, we are their representatives because we are part of their leadership team. And so I would ask, do you have a problem if we go here or if we go there? And it was one thing where they had to talk about it because they hadn't really talked about it. Because I understood I'm not my own. There's a tag that's associated with me, and I need to make sure that I'm not doing anything to diminish that association. So I would ask. And because we said no much more than we said yes, well, I have to tell you this. The pastors know things about situations and people that I didn't know, that I wasn't privy to because I didn't walk in those circles. So there's sometimes they say, you know, that may not be the best thing, but you be led. The minute we'd hear that, we knew. Okay. So just make sure you're led. You know, usually folks don't say, when everything's fine, they're in agreement. They're like, oh, yeah, great. When they're not, they say, well, you be led. Okay, just be led. Make sure. And we would go, I think I'm being led not to go. for whatever reason here. What? For whatever reason. Well, let's look at it this way. The reason there is unrest in the Middle East to this very day is because Abram slept with, what's her name? Hagar. That's the only, and they had Ishmael. If Ishmael's not born, there's no unrest in the Middle East today. Towers still be standing. Over 3,300 people still be alive. That one act, thousands of years ago, thousands of years ago. But that's not the real, that's not really where he missed it. He didn't miss it by sleeping with Hagar. God told him, sent him on a direction. He looked and saw that there was a famine in the land. So he looked away from the path God had sent him to Egypt. And Egypt looked pretty good. There was no famine there. So they went to Egypt. And when he left Egypt, in his entourage was this little number now called Hagar. I think of Hagar, I think of that comic strip, Hagar the Horrible. Okay. Okay. But if he never goes into Egypt, Hagar never becomes a part of his entourage. So if she's not there, Sarai can't say, take Hagar. When God told, sent him out on a direction, God never said anything about a famine. Why? God was going to supply his needs, so it didn't matter. But because God didn't say, there's going to be a famine, and I'm going to supply your need, you don't have to concern yourself with it. Let's look at, let's show you something. I think it's, look at Genesis 12. Looks like God did change the lesson. That's okay. Okay. Because we're still talking about staying the course God has set out for you. It says, I'm starting at verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. What does verse 2 say? He says, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that cursed thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So really, when you think about it, when God gave Abram that first set of instructions, it should have taken away any fear that Abram had. Because God said, I'm going to make you a great nation. I'm going to bless you. And all the families of the earth are going to be blessed because of you. So why should you care if you run into a famine? We have to stay the course that God has set. He knew they were going to encounter a famine, and he already gave Abram instructions concerning it. Say, what instructions? He said, I will make of thee a great nation. Well, he hadn't become a great nation yet. At that point, he wasn't a great nation. And God, so either God's, he's either telling you the truth or he's telling you a lie. And if you veer off course, what you're saying is God lied. and we'll rationalize it. Well, maybe this, I'm a little ahead of time. Okay. Maybe I wasn't supposed to leave right then. Or maybe this is a sign that I'm supposed to go into Egypt. After all, God wouldn't want me to starve out here. That's just silly. He's not going to send me any place to starve. And there's food right next door. Of course I'm supposed to go next door. No, you're supposed to go back to the one who sent you and ask for additional information. God, I know you know all and see all, but just in case you miss this, there'd be a famine here, okay? And I know you told me to go along this path, and I'm trying to do what you said, okay? But there ain't no food here. And when I look to my left, these people aren't serving you, and they have plenty. What am I supposed to do? God would have told him to keep going. But he didn't do that. That's why the Bible says in Proverbs, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. He'll direct your path. Because Abram's own understanding said, we need to go into Egypt. And he knew it was wrong because he had to tell a half lie to get in there. See, what a half lie. Well, he said, well, if I go there, they'll kill me because my wife is fine and they'll want her. In order to take her, they'll kill me. So you tell them you're my sister. Well, that was partially right. They were half sisters. He was his half sister. I mean, that's what he's just manipulating the truth, right? When all he had to do was trust God. How many times have we gotten ourselves in trouble because we looked at a situation, determined what we thought our course of action should be, and did not ask God, even though God is the one that sent us out. Even as pastors, we have a responsibility, regardless of what anyone says to us, regardless of any words that are spoken over us, to go to God. Is this from you? See, well, of course it's from one of God's people. Of course it's from God. Really? Let's go to 1 Kings. And again, we're talking principle here. I'm not talking about any people or any particular persons. I'm talking principle. We understand? Okay. And I'm going to start. You know, you can read the first four verses, but for time's sake, I'm going to start at verse 5. The altar also was rent, and the ashes poured out from the altar according to the sign which the man of God had given by the word of the Lord. And the king answered and said to the man of God, entreat now the face of the Lord thy God and pray for me, that my hand may be restored again. And the man of God besought the Lord, and the king's hand was restored him again and became as it was before. And the king said unto the man of God, come home with me and refresh thyself, and I will give thee a reward. And the man of God said unto the king, if thou will give me half thine house, I will not go in with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water in this place. Next verse is very important, folks. For it was charged me by what? By what? It was charged me by the word of the Lord, saying, eat no bread, nor drink water, nor turn again by the same way that thou camest. So he went another way and returned not by the way that he came to Bethel. So far, he's doing very good. The king offered him half of his house. And he said, no, God told me this, and that's what I'm going to do. Now there dwelt an old prophet in Bethel, and his sons came and told him all the works that the man of God had done that day in Bethel, the words which he had spoken unto the king, them they told also to their father. So they told their father that the king offered half of his house, and the man of God said, no, God told me thus and so. So the old prophet knew that. And the father, the old prophet, said unto them, which way went he? And for his sons had seen which way the man of God went. And he said to his sons, saddle a donkey. So they saddled a donkey, and he rode thereon, and went after the man of God, and found him sitting under an oak. And he said unto him, art thou the man of God that cameth from Judah? And he said, I am. Then he said unto him, come home with me and eat bread. The man of God said, I may not return with thee, nor go in with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water with thee in this place. For it was said to me by the word of the Lord, say the word of the Lord. He had a word directly from the Lord, folks. Thou shalt eat no bread nor drink water there, nor turn again and go by the way that thou camest. An old prophet said, I'm a prophet also. Just like you. The man of God should have said, and? But he said, and an angel spake to me by the word of the Lord. And I'm like, wait a minute. Hold it. God himself spoke to you and was very clear in his directions. So if God needed to change his directions, why would he send an angel to give you directions contrary to what he said? Wouldn't he come and tell you himself? I mean, he just happens to be God. And I'm going to take an angel's word over the direct word that I got from God? I don't think so. But that wasn't his mindset. Now, I don't know why the man of God went for it. The Bible doesn't say. You can speculate. Maybe he was in awe that this old, obviously respected prophet sought him out. I don't know. Maybe he felt inadequate because he was a young whippersnapper. Don't know. And you can speculate from now until the cows come home. But all that matters is he had a word directly from God, and he allowed someone to cause him to go contrary to it. And you read that out, it cost him his life. And God used what the Bible refers to as the lying prophet to tell the man he was going to die. And I'm like, well, God, why didn't you tell him yourself? He said he had already demonstrated that he wasn't listening to me. So since that's the voice he was listening to, that's the voice that's going to condemn him. When you have a word given to you from God, by God, if anyone is going to change it, when God gives you a word directly from his heart, and then you hear another word that's contrary or even seems a little different, that's the time to get on your knees before God and say, okay, Father, you are not the author of confusion, but of peace. And right now, I'm not peaceful, and there's confusion around me. Which one is your voice? And he'll let you know. Now, for whatever reason, it seems that, it, at least to me, it seems that the voice of God is usually the harder route to go. And the voice of God usually makes me have to do things that I don't want to do. And so, but I still don't use that as my barometer because I can be fooled that way. I need to find out, all right, God, is this you? Because I need to learn how to stick, and we all need to learn how to stick with God's, with what God told us. Well, let's think about this. We all know the account of David and Goliath. The Israeli army was afraid of Goliath. But it wasn't what we need to understand. It wasn't just the Israeli army that was afraid of Goliath. The entire nation of Israel was afraid of Goliath, even their high priests. They were all afraid of this man. Okay. They have history with God, wiping out nations on their behalf. But they're afraid of this man. Why? Because he's the biggest man they've ever seen. What difference does it make? What difference does it make? They had never, at one point, they had never been backed up against the Red Sea before either. God took care of that. But the whole nation forgot that they were in covenant with God or didn't think God's covenant included delivering them from Goliath. But this little shepherd boy, David, he had the nerve to believe God. And he took out the giant. Everybody else was afraid. So it doesn't matter if everybody you know says, no, 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 that's not the way to go. That doesn't make sense. You can't do that. And you know it's God that was speaking to you. You go after it anyway. When we sit with people and they'll tell us, God told, no, we pastors, we respect you. We know you're our pastors. But I'm telling you, God told me go in this direction. We pray with them, and we believe that they heard God, and the last thing we say to them, just be willing to be wrong. That's all. Just be willing to be wrong, because if it's God, it'll work out. But if you find yourself in a tough place and it's not working out, be willing to be wrong and say, Father, I thought this was your voice. What's going on? We're not going to say, no, you didn't hear from God. We're human. It's possible we could mishear. But we can tell you, well, based on our knowledge and how God usually works, he usually doesn't tell you that he's going to provide rent for you to start a business and then call, and then allow you to be evicted. That doesn't sound like the way God works, because his reputation is on the line here. So you may want to go back. And you have to be willing to say, Father, just need to check. Honor the word of the pastors after your heart. I'm just coming to check with you. Is this the direction? And if he says yes, stick with it. Stick with it. And we'll be pulling for you. But if it's not him, say, you know what, Father, I repent. I went this way because I really thought it was you. Show me how to be more, what I need to do to be more sensitive to your word so I don't miss it like this again. No condemnation. Your heart was pure. And even if your heart wasn't pure, still there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. You just repent and get right. And just keep moving. Psalm 119 says, "You are." I'm in the Message Bible, starting at verse 1. says you are blessed when you stay on course, walking steadily on the road revealed by God. See, folks, if God has to reveal the road to you, then it must not be clearly visible. He needs to say to you, this is the road. That's why in there's another verse, I think it's in Proverbs, where it says, thy word is, or is it Psalms? Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. That means you're going to be walking and you're not really going to be able to see which way you should go. And all of a sudden, a way is going to be illumined. You say, oh, thank you, Lord. I need to go this way. And you keep going until another turn gets illumined. Psalm 119, okay, verse 105. It says, you're blessed when you stay on course, walking steadily on the road revealed by God. You're blessed when you follow his directions, doing your best to find him. God, where are you in this? I know what your word says, but I need to see you in this. Where are you? Don't be afraid. One of the things that trips believers up more than anything is they think they should know. And so they won't do, I should know, I should know. And they won't ask. Well, let's think about that. If God expected you to know everything, why would Jesus have to put five gifts into the church? If we're supposed to know, why would we need a Bible that says, meditate on this word day and night? If we are supposed to just know. God knows. And he's the only one that knows. He doesn't tell, the only thing he tells us to know, he says, be still and know I am the Lord. That's what he tells us to know. Everything else, be led. By what? By the Spirit of God. Why is that important? Well, in order for you to be led by the Spirit of God, you have to know the Spirit of God. So he says, be still and know that I am the Lord, then allow me to lead you. That's right. Don't go off on your own. You walk straight along the road he set. You, God, prescribe the right way to live. Now you expect us to live it. Oh, that my steps might be steady, keeping on the course you set. Then I'd never have any regrets in comparing my life with your counsel. Wow. Anybody other than me, you look at your life and you compare it to the directions that you know God gave you, and you find that you're not on an even keel. And you wonder, if I had just brought this up to what God said, I'd be much further along. Much further along. Then I'd never have any regrets in comparing my life with your counsel. I thank you for speaking straight from your heart. I learned the pattern of your righteous ways. I'm going to do what you tell me to do. Don't ever walk off and leave me. Well, he won't. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Never. So you can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear or dread. What can man do to me? Folks, I can't stand in front of you and tell you this is what God has planned for you. I don't know. I am not the one with the purpose and plan for your life. I am not. I represent God's heart as one of your pastors. And whatever comes out of my mouth should allow you to get closer to the destiny that God has for you. I don't have a destiny for you. I don't. But God does. And my job, and Pastor Ed's job, and Pastor Sarah's job, and the deacons and the ministers, their job is to put you, allow you to get closer to fulfilling the plan God has for you, whatever that plan may be. Don't get frustrated if you don't see it all now. Don't get frustrated, because if you allow yourself to get frustrated, you'll make a rash choice to try and help this thing along. Be patient. See, God may have similar destinations, but send folks in different directions. See, he may have some go the way to Route 80, the way Chuck said. He may have some go the way Roy said. Why? One thing all navigation systems rely on, and I believe they got that principle from God. I do. Because when I, after I tell my system where I want to go, it says, hold on while I get your location. It needs to locate where I am. Before God gives you instructions, he's going to locate you. Some of the things that you've gone through, it's a process for God to locate where you are. Not physically, spiritually. Yeah, a lot of everybody likes to think that we're so spiritually mature. But God knows we're not. So he's going to give us instructions based on our level of maturity. And each one has designed us to bring us up to another level. That's why we have to be honest with God and tell him how we feel. You could tell, how many of you know you have the right to say to God, Father, I don't like that. You can say that. He's your father. He still expects our obedience, but he expects us to be honest with him. Because you, at least with me, I'll say, I don't like that. I don't understand why I have to do that. And then he has this line that he always gets me. He said, would you do it for me? Or sometimes in a really, when I'm really angry, he'll hit me with, don't you trust me? And I'm like, oh. Yes, I trust you. Okay, I'll say it. Okay, I'll do it. Okay, I'll go. You know, it's that kind of thing. And if you're feeling those settings, please don't beat yourself up. It's not abnormal. It's normal. But what has become equally as normal is we go to our Father. Whatever our concerns are, we go to our Father and we bare our heart. Tell him, God, I don't like that person. So you're telling me, you expect me to, that I'm going to be working side by side. I don't like them. You know, yes. God, I never told you had to like them. Nowhere in my word will you find out where I said, make sure you like them. I said, love them. It's easier to love someone than it is to like them. Like is based on action and reaction. Love is based on obedience. It's easy. God said love, you say, okay. I mean, sometimes it's easier on the flesh if you just like somebody. But the bottom line is, God could care less whether we like each other or not. He said, love one another. That's what he said. Like doesn't cover a multitude of sins. Love does. Like is based on cause and effect, action and reaction, give and take. Yeah, you feed me Häagen-Dazs ice cream, I'm going to like you. My body may not like you. Okay. But whether you give me ice cream or not, I'm still called to love you. And that's easy. It really is. Because when you love someone, you don't think about whether you like them or not. There's a saying that's used that said, well, I have to learn how to love a porcupine. To me, it's very easy. If I don't see you as a porcupine, it doesn't make a difference. But if I see quills and things sticking out of you, yeah, I may be a little leery about getting close to you. But if God said love you, then I see you the same way he does. You understand? You are blessed when you stay on course, walking steadily on the road revealed by God. God and God alone. We have to listen. Period. And not get caught up. Right? We're led by the Spirit of God. We got to get mindful. It said that these signs shall follow. It doesn't say these signs shall lead you. These signs shall follow. So we don't want to run around after signs. We want to follow hard after the word of God, being led, not driven, by the Holy Ghost. You know, let me share that it's 12:30. I planned on being finished by 12:30. We might take 5 minutes, 10 minutes tops just to tell you this. Is that all right? Okay. One of the things that we have to understand is that a basic principle, operating principle of every believer is obedience. Now, we make a big deal about obedience, and obedience is a big deal, but we need to understand that we cannot get through a day without operating in obedience. You wouldn't be breathing if it were not for obedience. Your lungs have to be obedient to the signals they receive from your brain that tell it to breathe. In order for me to do this, there are, I don't know, hundreds of nerves and muscles that have to be in obedience. Otherwise, I wouldn't be able to do this. So when you look at things, look at it in that light, the issue is not obedience. The issue is who you give your obedience to. That's the issue. See, in every situation, you have different things vying for your obedience. God says, he wakes you up at 3:30. You went to bed at 1 a.m. And he says, I want you to pray for an hour. Your body is saying, he must be out of his mind. I'm just getting into sleep. I got to leave at 6:30 to go to work. And he's talking about praying. I rebuke you, Satan, in the name of Jesus. I know. Your body is saying, be obedient to me. God is saying, obey my voice. You have to choose who's going to get your obedience. You're going to operate in obedience, but who's going to be the recipient of it? That's the issue that we fight with. Who's going to be the recipient of our obedience? You're always going to have multiple choices. In one example that I use, I said there's a Carvel ice cream shop near us. Are you laughing already? It closes at 10. It's 9:45. And our body is saying, I want a hot fudge sundae with nuts. Or I want a hot fudge sundae with nuts, strawberries, and black cherries. Or I want it now. And your mind says, but your nutritionist said you could take some fresh berries, put them in the freezer for a little bit, and it's like eating an ice, but don't eat a big bowl of it. Just eat at most a cup. And the Holy Ghost is saying, at 9 o'clock at night, you don't need to put any more sugar in your body. One of those three is going to get my obedience. So the question becomes, what do we use to choose? What are we going to use to decide I'm going to obey this voice, or that voice? That's really the dilemma that we're faced with as believers. How do we determine who gets our obedience? My sheep hear my voice, and the voice of a stranger they will not follow. Some translations say they will run from because they don't know his voice. We have to spend time in fellowship with our Father so we get to the place where we know his voice. Even when you have a variety of choices, you still know this is God. And ask him. There have been times where I picked up something and put it in my mouth and heard very clearly, spit that out. And I'm like, what? You didn't ask me if you could eat that? I'm like, I didn't spit that out. Yes, sir. Okay. So that's no big deal. What would have happened if you've eaten it? I don't know. And I didn't want to find out. But I knew that voice. Okay. And we have to get to the place where we know the voice so we're giving our obedience to whom it's deserved and not just based on the flesh. We get in trouble because too often we give our obedience to our flesh. And Jesus said the spirit is willing but the flesh is weak. See, that doesn't really mean weak in the sense of no strength. Your flesh doesn't have a backbone. It's going to give in to whatever the strongest force is, period. If it's the Spirit of God, your flesh will submit to it. If it's not, your flesh will submit to it. We need to understand that. It doesn't have a mind. They say, my flesh has a mind of its own. No, it doesn't. It's going to listen to some voice. It's either going to do what the devil wants, what you want, or what God wants. And you determine what your flesh is going to listen to. It's 100% under your control. God needs us to think about that. So we say, oh, we have to be obedient. You already are. But who's the recipient? That's what he wants us to think about.